The following interview was recorded on Wednesday, the 19th of April, 2017. Unlike many other recordings that I do, when I attempted to interview this particular individual, I somehow developed audio problems, and this always seems to be the case when recording very relevant material. Don't know what it is, folks, but there seems to be ghosts in the machine when you try to get information out that people really need to hear. There was a few problems with the audio recording, but I have done my best to try to tweak it up and get it listenable due to the importance of the information. So I do apologize for the quality of audio this week, or the lack of quality to the audio this week, but the information was so important that I have decided to put it out there anyway. And so without further ado, this is my interview, as I said, recorded on Wednesday, the 19th of April, 2017, with Brendan O'Connell. It's now very common to hear people say, "I'm rather offended by that," as if it gives them certain rights. It's actually nothing more than a whine. I find that offensive. It has no meaning, it has no purpose, it has no reason to be respected as a phrase. I'm offended by that. Well, so what? And this week's opening quote comes from Stephen Fry. Welcome to Surviving the Matrix, ladies and gentlemen. My name is Maxwell Egan. It's a pleasure to be with you once again, and I'll be your host for the next hour. We seem to live in a world today, folks, where political correctness and offence is a means of really squashing the truth and getting people to be silent when they really shouldn't be silent. And we've seen it taken to ridiculous degrees lately, most especially in my home country of Australia. A few years ago, back in 2013, in fact, there was a man who made a pretty peaceful protest at a vegetable store, a fruit store, that happened to be mislabeling fruit. This is sort of how it started. They'd been mislabeling fruit and selling Israeli fruit, claiming it was Australian fruit, and this man has sort of done a little bit of work and a little bit of research into what's going on in Israel and Palestine, and decided to make a stand and speak out about the Israeli control to various degrees in this country, not only in the fruit store, but also with certain things that are happening militarily in this country. There's a very, very heavy Israeli influence in this country, folks. There really is, and there is in many countries. But this man actually went and made a bit of a stand out the front of a fruit store and got into a confrontation with some Israelis, and it escalated, and he ended up doing time in jail, basically for voicing an opinion and because someone chose to be offended. That man is Brendan O'Connell, and I've got him on the show with me today. And we're going to talk about how he got into that situation, what his purpose was, and what he's been doing since then. So welcome to the show, Brendan. It's nice to have you on, brother.
Hey, Max, brother, fellow Aussie. Great to be here, mate.
Yeah, it's good to see fellow Australians speaking out, mate. There's not a lot of people down there that are really making a difference, and you're certainly one that has. Do you want to give people, just for anyone who hasn't heard of your story, do you want to give them a quick overview of what happened and how you kind of ended up incarcerated for having an opinion?
Where to begin? The case is pretty big. It got completely out of control. I wasn't even protesting. We were literally, I'd heard about the Friends of Palestine. You know, I'm not a huge fan. I've always been critical that they don't focus on the right issues, and the BDS is focusing on minor issues instead of going after the big Israeli high technology industry. But I thought, look, I'll go down with my camera and have a chat. And I found a bunch of lapsed Catholics down there, and we're all sort of bitching about the church and its lack of social action. And it wasn't even a protest. It was just handing out flyers. Everyone was pretty peaceful. And this was 2009, May the 2nd. And Stanley Elliott Keyser and his friend Timothy John Peach turned up, agitated, were taking people's photos for 3 hours. I thought he was part of a group. And then he stood up and said, "We're Jews from Melbourne, and what you're doing is disgusting." And he just took my photo. So I went after him with the camera and said, "Excuse me," and I opened with this line, you claim you're Jews from Melbourne. Why didn't you just come up to us, shake our hand, and give us your side of the story?" And that's how it started. And then we started arguing, and it ended up with him assaulting me, hitting me in the face with a camera, and me threatening to shove it into a certain orifice, and just talking about the general racism and hatred that's going on. I make a few quotes, and then I just said, "Stanley, you're a racist Jew. You have a religion of racism, hate, homicide, and ethnic cleansing." And I end up getting a year's jail for that comment, and then 10 years jail for 5 blog postings, which were nothing you wouldn't see Professor Norman Finkelstein say at a university in London. And then they made that concurrent to 2 years. So I did 3 years total, most of it in maximum security. It's farcical. There's a huge back end due to my writing on Israeli intelligence activity and other stuff, Max. And, that's the short version.
Well, that's amazing. It really is. And you had ridiculous bail conditions as well, I'm noticing on your website, like this court was ongoing, even when you got out of court in June 2015. You were told at first you weren't able to possess technology, I believe. I mean,
yeah.
What is this, like, you're not allowed to have a blender or a shaver or a toaster or a television? I mean,
I said, can I have a TV remote? Look, that was in, I got out of jail in January 2014. The harassment was horrendous. If any of you have watched Kay Griggs, whose husband was the psychological warfare assassination head for NATO and Marine Corps, my harassment was worse than hers, and I'm not joking. I had heads of counterterrorism contacting me. The Israeli state came out against me. The Israeli ambassador, the deputy foreign minister, Stephen Smith, the Australian foreign minister. They came out against me directly before the start of my trial. It was unheard of. So there was a huge back end operating. When I came out of jail, I was absolutely hammered. Break-ins, passport stolen, evidence stolen. I'd been assaulted in jail. It was covered up. So there were then more charges laid on another issue, which I won't go into now, but the part of the, because they were desperate to get me offline. Absolutely desperate. They came with warrants and said that I'd upset offended Jewish community leader Stephen Leiblich, who organized the Israeli ambassador against me. I called him a katzer, a case officer for Israeli intelligence. He trained at the Technion. He was an electrical engineer. He was head of the Western Australian Israel business community. And I called him a katzer, which is slang term for case officer. They raided me and were looking for evidence of Jet Propulsion Laboratories, where I highlighted Sandra Tron, who was exposing Israelis who were spying on America and sending the stuff back to Israel. And they were desperately rummaging around through my stuff. There's a raid video online about it. And part of the bail conditions was that I could not possess technology. I could not enter any store that sold technology. And I said, Your Honor, what about Coles? I mean, you know, at the supermarket, they sell mobile phones. It was ludicrous. They are just so stupid. Anyway, I got those bail conditions changed, but this was ongoing for over 2 years. They kept the bail conditions running, kept adjourning 3 months, 6 months. It was unheard of. That's why I left. In the end, there's a warrant for my arrest because I left. I just packed up and left. It was pointless. They were going to keep me offline forever. That was the goal. They don't care how ridiculous they were. I spoke to lawyers. They said, this is ludicrous. There's nothing we can do. And that's the point. You can't do anything. I have experienced the Soviet Union in a supposed democracy, Max, and that's what's scary. If they do this with me and they get away with this, God help us.
Yeah, well, that's the thing, and they really have taken it to a ridiculous degree. I mean, what do you think? Why were they so hard on you? Just to, like, make an example of you to scare other people off, or what? What were you doing with this investigation into the military and the submarine and all this sort of stuff about the ties with the Israeli intelligence in Australia? Was anything to do with that, or you think it was just
absolutely
an example for other people?
Partly 30% set an example, because they've always got to set an example. I mean, I actually know, you know, I know a lot of people. You meet a lot of people in your time, as you would know. I know forensic psychologists and that, and they said, Brendan, part of Western Australia's policy, because it's so isolated, but it's anywhere in the world, is they want to hammer the opposition. Anyone who stands up, calls out the DPP, Department of Public Prosecutions, the police, they hammer them as an example. Monkey see, monkey do. They will never apologize. They will never let anyone get away with exposing them, ever. So it was partly that, because I'd exposed so much corruption within the state. But also in 2005 it started, I named a guy called Leon Wend, who was an Orthodox Jew with his family who lived in Israel. He'd served in the Israeli Defence Force. And he installed the weapons and sensor system on Australia's new Collins-class sub. And that's how it started. And I'd already known a little bit about Variant, Converse, Infosys, Christopher Berlin's work and others. So I started to investigate a little. And that's when it started in 2005. And then when they slapped these ridiculous charges on me, I said, well, fine, let's talk about the Collins-class sub, Israeli spying, Operation Talpiot, which was the 40-year plan for Israel to infiltrate the entire world's high technology sector till they now dominate everything, and I mean everything. And it went crazy. The head of counterterrorism contacted me, Inspector Barry Shelton. He came to my house. He said, Brendan, we respect your work. Quote, head of state counterterrorism, Barry Shelton, we respect your work. But he also emailed me, and that's when the Israeli ambassador turned up. And that's the background that's operating behind these stupid racial vilification charges. And I think, Max, the scary thing about my case is that I'm a nobody. I had open source information. And our own intelligence services were totally, stupendously ignorant.
Yeah, and you weren't even like pursuing any legal action or anything. You were just simply pointing out that there was some discrepancies here, and there seemed to be infiltration, and there seemed to be, you know, an inordinate amount of Israeli control happening right around the world. And this domination is important. The domination of technology is absolutely important. So why do you think they were trying to silence that? I mean, how can people look at this and think the government is on their side when they allow this foreign power to do what it does? What it's doing to the Palestinian people, I've often said, you know, this is an example for the world. This is the greatest moral dilemma we face. And if we do not heal Palestine, then the way of Palestine will be the way of the world. And when you look at how you've been railroaded for simply pointing out a few obvious things which are in the public domain, and like you say, you're just a guy, you're not anybody special, it's really quite scary, isn't it?
Well, that's the joke. Look, it's a movie, Max. It's, seriously, it is a Hollywood movie, what's happened. It's a comedy. How could a guy with, you know, I've got a few connections here and there, you pick up around anywhere, you know, as you age over time, this farcical international incident began, and it just kept getting bigger and bigger. I kept refusing to back down. They kept harassing me. People said, you've got a bad temper, Brendan. I said, well, wait till they start doing it to you. Wait till your sister mysteriously dies 3 months after you threatened to kill your family with a stroke and she dies of a massive stroke. Wait till 5 other people die around you over 2 years. You know, wait till the Israeli state comes out against you personally. Wait till your house is broken into 3 times a week and your mate's brake lines are cut and cars are smashed and people are stalked and your 11-year-old niece has got people masturbating in the car, pulling up next to them and trying to pull her into a car. Wait till that happens to you. And that is the level this has been operating at so far. So if this sort of stuff, when I've been writing letters, emails, and my emails are cut off, my letters are intercepted and never delivered, I do all the things, I'm a smart guy, I know how to operate politically, and I got nowhere. Then you see me lose my temper and everyone goes, you know, Syria girl contacted me and said, oh, I was told you pulled a gun on police. I mean, this is the sort of garbage that is going around. Max, it's crazy. If they get away with this with me, I mean, in public view, I was raped in public view. That's the metaphor, and people just walked on by. It's madness.
Yeah, and when did you get out of jail?
January 24th, 2014.
2014. What have you done since then? Have they in any way sort of neutered you and caused you to...
They just terrorized me night and day. The moment I got out of jail, they terrorized me. They broke in, took my passport. Look, Max, the back end of this is literally 40 issues. It's not just Israel and this spying stuff. I expose massive corruption within the state. I mean, there is massive corruption going on. Murders by police, drug trafficking by police on an industrial scale. The guy that arrested me, Timothy Paini, P-A-I-N-I, they're all ex-drug squad. They're all up to their necks in it. He's involved in a case involving 16 kilos of stolen methamphetamine. I mean, that's just one. I was talking to the biggest drug traffickers in the world in the prison system. And what they told me was just horrifying. He said, Brendan, the police run the drug trade. They run it. The Australian Federal Police and the State Police are all running the drug trade. And I was given specific incidences where just mass quantities of drugs are displayed on the television. Yes, we've stopped this poisonous drug hitting the streets, and it is literally back out the door the next day. And I'm getting it from the horse's mouth. They're telling Brendan it's industrial scale. It's a combination of the police, the banking and financing system. They run all their accounts through into Indonesia, Hong Kong, Singapore. Intimate details, murders, police. There's a infamous case coming up, and I broke it, but they're refusing to acknowledge it, which is the murder of Mike Namosky, a drug trafficker, by a criminal informant called Paul Nunzio Stagno. In the papers in the West Australian, there's a former DPP prosecutor who was accused of murder, and he's got a defamation case against the police. And these same police were all disbanded out of the major crime squad and the DPP prosecution team sacked for misconduct on this one case, which was covered up by the judiciary, the legal system, the media, the police system. When this copper released this guy on 3 bails, 3 serious drug charges, released him the next day each time, and then he goes and murders a man because Detective Carl Casilli, a disgraced detective, gave the green light for the murder. Now, this is a huge legal scandal in Australia, and it's not in the media yet, but that's just an example of the complications that came out of my incarceration, Max, because you never, ever stick a gossip or a journalist in jail. Never. Because all the dirty secrets, Max, are in the jail. And I mean dirty secrets.
Yeah, well, that's true. That's very, very true. So where are you living now? Are you still in Western Australia?
No, I'm in exile. I'm on the run with a warrant for my arrest. I got to Iran. I was given political asylum in Iran. Now, that was another story. That was a crazy story. I left.
That's where you are now, Iran?
No, I'm in Kuala Lumpur. I left Iran. It was bizarre. They didn't even want to talk about Israel. Seriously, they did everything they could to divert me away from Israeli intelligence. Everything. There was a lawyer named David Lashkari from Atlanta, Georgia. He's Iranian. He's the one that invited me back over. The first trip was a farce. I mean, it was a farce. I thought, my God, do they even know the left hand what the right hand's doing? I've got senior international correspondent Hamed Fadaroli telling me I might as well leave for Press TV. So I just left. And then the lawyer rang me, who was in with the Persian Gulf Study Center, which is a government, and like, it's a government. They say it's an NGO, but it's government affiliated. And, you know, I was being groomed for Press TV, Max. But the lawyer, I said, I'm here to talk about Israel and Orthodox Judaism and racism and how it comes out of their Talmud. They didn't want to talk about it. I had to threaten to leave, and they finally acquiesced, Max, and said, okay, you can work with the Persian Gulf Study Center to organize a conference on Israeli spying, Operation Talpiot. Dr. Alan Sabrowski was interested, and then in the end, the lawyer was a drug addict. He was off his head, Max. I can't make this stuff up. On drugs.
All the world is a stage. Now, I do a lot of spots on Press TV. I've got to admit, they only publish about a third of them. Some of the stuff I say, they really obviously don't like.
Max, it's wrong because that's Pravda. That's Pravda, 1956. Come on, I mean, I've got to edit a little bit, but that's, you know.
Yeah. I know. I mean, I'm well aware all the world is a stage, but it's still a platform you can get, you know. I'm happy that I can say some of the things I do say with, but I've often had questions about Iran, so that's very interesting that you should have
had
that experience when you went.
Maybe we should have a chat offline.
Well, maybe we should, yeah, maybe we should. We'll continue that one. That's something that we can tease the listeners with, but yeah, very interesting. I've actually been invited to Iran several times. I haven't gone yet. But
people are wonderful. You'll love it. You'll love it, Max. You're a people person. You'll love it.
It is a wonderful place. I do have some friends there, but it's interesting that you had that experience there when trying to deal with the Israeli situation, because Iran is, for all intents and purposes, very outspoken against Israel. But again, all the world is a stage. So what is the real purpose in a lot of this? And even when you look at the Israeli-Palestinian situation, what's going on in Gaza, I mean, anybody who trusts Hamas, I think, really should be thinking things a little bit through. Because, I mean, Hamas does not seem to really do much for the Palestinian people or the people in Gaza at all. And I question their actions very much. I think there's too much, associating the people of Palestine with Hamas the way the people of Lebanon are associated with Hezbollah, you know. I mean, and even the images that we're given of Hezbollah and everything, I mean, I know a lot of Lebanese people, and they tell me it's very different to what we're told in the West. So,
all the world's a stage, Max.
All the world is a stage, so.
That's my theatre. It's just
so
one big theatre.
But now, what are your plans? What are you doing with this?
Plan.
Are you pushing this forward?
Well, originally the plan, and that's the key to have a plan. The plan was I had employed Dr. John Walsh and Solicitor Kevin Foley to push forward to the High Court, as there's a lot of talk about Section 18C in the federal legislation, which is identical to Section 80B, or very, very similar. Key components offending. It's racially harassed in WA, but it's the key component is to offend. And my case is a shoo-in in the High Court. They want it in the High Court. But Israel wields too much power, Max. Now, Dr. John Walsh has just gone silent. I've sat here for a month waiting in a hotel when I could have tried to get a room somewhere at half the price and three times nicer. And he's done nothing. Now, Kevin Foley's still keen. We're going to try and... Look, to be honest, Max, I woke up this morning and thought, I give up. I should just go back to Australia and just get in the prison system and just cut sick. Just cut sick. And just... Because as a prisoner, trust me, you have a lot of power. You can terrorise the system. Because I don't know what to do, Max, to get anything to work. Nothing is working, Max. Nothing.
So, were you on bail when you skipped the country? Or?
Yeah, I was on bail, yeah.
Okay, so there was a court case pending and you just kind of...
Do you want me to give you another back end to this? This is what I mean. It's not simple. I was assaulted in jail. It was organised by the prison officers, one Liam Samuel Cashman and senior officer Paul Jarrett. Now, this came out in the news. Now, this was the Fink Spikey Steve Wallace, who's associated with Troy McCanty. Now, Troy McCanty is the number one organised crime bikie in Australia. I'm talking, he's that powerful. His father is a high-level Freemason. They're in the news again. That's who organised my beating. My arm was badly broken. It was untreated, two places. My jaw had a hairline fracture. I had a blown pupil. I was rushed to hospital. And then you read the accounts. It's like I bumped my head on the end of the bed. It was a total cover-up. My arm, I'm a former registered nurse, ICU, orthopedics. I said, my arm is badly broken. I can't use my arm. I can feel the break. You're fine. For a month. Imagine Max walking around with a displaced fracture for a month until they finally did something. I forced them to do something about it. And they covered it up. They disappeared x-rays. Anyway, I tried to get the guy investigated. I was insulted in the investigation unit by the prison officers because they all stick together. They're totally corrupt. There's a big clean out going on. We got into a huge, we had a fight in the office, in the plush offices. That's how bad it got. When I left, I emailed the minister and said to cut it, the story short, because I've got to try and keep it short. I said to the minister, you either investigate this guy, because I was going nowhere, I had no money, I couldn't get out, I couldn't get anyone to help me. I said, I will kill the bastard. I will kill that person. I used some foul language at the time. The minister rang me that night a few hours later. This is Minister Joe Francis, a man who's best mates with Tony Abbott. His commissioner is a SAS commander, Colonel James McMahon, retired. He's got fingers in every pie. He said we would be having a beer. He told me to calm down. He would ensure there's investigation. This is the minister, just out now after the election. And Joe Francis said, quote, Brendan, I am more scared of my own prison officers than I am of the bikies after I stop their drugs getting into the jail. That's a quote, Minister Joe Francis. A 32-minute phone call. It's not in dispute. I have the DPP admitting to it. And because of all this background, this back end, this crazy back end, they wouldn't let me off the bail charges. I mean, it wouldn't let me off the conditions. They were going to silence me at every turn, ban me from being offline. And in the end, I said, enough. They said, you are mentally ill, Mr. O'Connell. Your blog is clearly the ravings of someone who's mentally ill. You need a psychiatric assessment. That was at the sentencing because I pled guilty to the charge just to get it out of the way. And that's when I said, you know what? I'll see you later. I borrowed $3,000 and I jumped on a plane and I went to Iran.
Yeah, well, very, very interesting, brother. I mean, this is just showing how blatantly corrupt the system is. And look, you know, there's child trafficking. I mean, it goes on a lot further than even what you've investigated. You've just really scraped the tip of the iceberg, but you've uncovered stuff which is incredibly, you know, it's incredibly implicating for these people. It's incredibly damning for these people. But really, it's just the tip of the iceberg. I mean, I've been saying to so long, you know, you're living in a people farm, folks. You're living in a people farm. The system is utterly corrupt, and the police are essentially a crime gang. This is who's running all the drugs. It's who's running all the human trafficking. And when you look at some of the stuff that's been uncovered recently, and you look at how all these police forces are trained, many of them go to Israel to train as well.
Yes.
And Israel's, I mean, look what goes on in Israel. It's basically ethnic cleansing and, you know, one of the largest traffickers of human organs in the world. So what are these police learning to do? And you're a prime example of this. And you're a real credit, brother, that you're out there doing this and that you chose to just do the bolt and stand up and blow the whistle. You know, a lot of people need to hear this because it shows that the corruption in Australia, it's rotten to the core, absolutely rotten to the core. And it isn't just Australia. It's every Western country. It's all these countries that are run by these central banks. It's the whole system. There's systemic corruption through and through. And it's our tolerance of this. You know, our willingness to let people like yourself be railroaded for simply speaking your mind and pointing out the obvious to people.
Well, that's it, Max. It's theatre and it's weird. It's so weird when you go through the system and you just see how there are no rules. If they decide, the establishment decide that you're persona non grata and you're not getting anywhere, you're toast. The media's not going to help you. The police aren't going to help you. The politicians are scared. The politicians are scared, Max. Western Australia in particular is a police state because you have so many of these South African Jews, South African intelligence retired, South African special forces retired. These are people who've been killing blacks in South Africa, murdering, doing all sorts of horrible things. Well, they all ran away and retired in WA, but they're not retired. And as you know, with South Africa, they have very strong ties with Israel. And that's why WA is so special. They run that state. Look, Suresh Rajan is a community leader and is often on the news talking about racism and community cohesion. And he told me at a meeting, he said, yeah, I know all about your case, Brendan. And this is a quote. He said, Brendan, 3,000 members of the Perth Jewish community have the political class by the balls in this state. That's a quote by a very connected man involved in this stuff. There is something wrong in WA above and beyond all others. The state is literally a personal fiefdom. It's very rich, largest oil and gas reserves in the world, proven in the Kimberley Basin. It's very much a prize, and someone has basically keeping it for themselves. And Max, I've experienced firsthand the horror of being targeted. I wish I was Edward Snowden and I'd release some top secret info, but this is just open source information that everybody missed. And I just repackaged Mike Rivero, Christopher Boleyn, and a few other bits and pieces from 2007. I repackaged it and just decided to go for it and get it out there into the popular mainstream. And since that day, it's been, you know, I've got a sense of humor, Max, but it's been living hell. I mean, I'm in a freaking windowless hotel room begging for money, and I have to end this. And the lawyers were the last thing, High Court, moving towards the High Court. But clearly, I'm never going to get anywhere, Max. They rule. Israel rules. They've got the kill switches. They're running all the security online. They've got all the Class A infrastructure, and they just make the phone call. You will not discuss Brendan O'Connell, and that's it. So I have to get back to Australia, I think, and just... Look, Max, I don't want to be melodramatic, but I woke up this morning and said I have to make things happen. And if I have to die in a jail in Australia, as extreme as that sounds, because people need to know I am in trouble. I'm laughing, I'm joking, I've got a sense of humour, but I'm telling you, I'm in trouble. People are helping, but this is something is going to have to give. And if I have to go back to jail and die in a jail, I'm willing to do it. And that's where I'm heading right now psychologically.
Yeah, well, don't be too eager to just jump back into the fire, brother. I mean, we'll get this word out to as many people as we can. Just coming onto shows like this and talking about it, and I'll get you onto a few other shows, and we'll see if we can get you a little bit of airtime. You know, get you onto some stations that are going out quite popular across the net and across the airwaves, and we'll get the story out to a few more people. Don't just jump back into the fire yet. There might even be some sort of an international lawyer who wants to jump to your defence. You never know. Someone may hear.
Well, that's what I need.
Someone else's shows. You know,
more than money, Max. I mean, money's always a problem, but it's a plan. But every time I have a plan, it's thwarted. Every time I go, oh, thank God, I've got a plan now, and I've got hope. It's you know, I sat for a month in this hotel. You know, and, you know, people are busy, Max. Like you say, look at Syria. Everyone's worried about World War III, which is never going to happen. But anyway, you know, it's wag the dog. Wag the dog.
Theater for the masses, mate.
Theater.
Against North Korea. All of these governments collude with each other to cook up these threats in order
Thank
to enslave
God.
Their populations.
Thank God,
do.
Max.
And
Thank
the
God.
The that you've just had in Iran kind of proves that in a way, that even they're involved. So
look, Max,
we're going to have to leave it here for God. Now because it's break time. We're going to have to go and have a break because we've reached that time of the show. So I'll leave it here for now, folks. I'm here discussing the ways of the world with Brendan O'Connell, and we'll be back in a few minutes. Thanks for listening. And welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. I'm here discussing the case of Brendan O'Connell and the outright corruption of the Australian political system and indeed the world political system and the overt control that Israel seems to exercise over this system. And we're trying to find ways of getting Brendan out of the mess that he seems to be in at the hands of the Australian government. The mess that he's in essentially for having an opinion, folks, and for pointing out the obvious and using material that is in the public domain that you can get hold of, anybody can get hold of, and just package and putting it out there in a way that it can be understood. This seems to be an enormous threat to the system. And we have a man now living in a windowless hotel in exile in a foreign country with no money simply because he chose to point out the obvious and speak the truth to people. So welcome back to the show, Brendan. So we've got to do something about getting you out of this mess, brother. We don't want you to jump back into the fire just yet. So we'll see if we can get you on a few more radio shows and get this information out to people.
Yeah, that's great, Max. Appreciate it. I don't want to sound too extreme, but I've got to try and get across to people that although I've got a big grin on my face, I'm really – and I feel bad, Max. I mean, you've been to Gaza. People always say, well, Brendan, it could be worse. You could be in Gaza. But you know what? I'd rather be in Gaza. Would you like to be isolated and alone? For the last 6 months, I haven't talked to a normal English speaker except on the phone. You know, I would rather have my comrades around me risking life and limb with bullets whizzing over my head than to be isolated, screaming into the vacuum with people running around in vast teams telling people I'm pulling guns on police. I mean, it's so freaking crazy.
Yeah, well, I mean, the situation in Gaza is horrendous, and good on you for wanting to speak out about what's going on in Palestine. Like I said, it's the greatest moral dilemma we face.
Well, like you said, free Palestine, free the world.
free Palestine, free the world. And if we don't, then the way of Palestine will be the way of the world. And what they've done to you kind of proves that. You know, the complete disregard they have for the rights of anybody who questions the system or stands up against them. And like you say, you're right about Western Australia. It's an absolute police state. If there ever was a police state anywhere in the world,
oh, yeah.
Western Australia, it is far surpassing that, you know, any other state in the country for police corruption and control of the people. And essentially, it's just a big mine. I mean, last time I went to Perth, you go into town and all the people are too scared to walk around. The streets are empty and all the city is just big government buildings and big mining buildings. It just seems like a centre for mining companies where all the people are controlled and cowed. No one's, you know, everyone's scared to go out at night because the police will get them if they drink or anything like that. It's a very, very cowed population of people, very controlled population.
Max, it's a mining camp. That's what it is.
Yeah, and anybody who speaks out, I've got another friend in Western Australia who chose to speak out against the police, and they vilified him, they tried to take his kids away, all sorts of stuff.
Yep, routine.
Yeah, terrible, terrible stuff. So, yeah, so where do you think you're going to go from there? How long have you been in KL?
Nearly 3 months. I have to do a visa run. Well, I've sat around for 6 weeks waiting for this lawyer, and then he just says, oh, I haven't done anything yet. It's like, what? Oh, well, I don't think you'll get legal aid funding. What? I mean, it's just, Max, they get at everyone. They get at everybody.
And what sort of a challenge are you mounting? What are you looking at? What sort of a legal remedy are you looking at?
High Court, the legislation is topical. It's public interest. It's a shoo-in. I've already done the hard work with that synopsis. All it takes is a legal person to put it into a legal format and brief a High Court appeals barrister. It's a done deal. But the Israeli state, no, I will be crowing from the rooftops, and they're going to have to report that case, and then they're going to have to report Brendan O'Connell, and then they're going to have to say, well, maybe he isn't mentally ill. Maybe, in fact, we tried to drive him mentally ill, and there's a huge back end to this whole case because they associated me with neo-Nazis, Ku Klux Klan. I mean, I have criminal defamation cases against the Nine Network, but you can't get a lawyer, Max. The lawyers back off or they start trying to divert me. I have lived some sort of movie. And the only thing perhaps people, you know, maybe, I don't know, Max, it's bigger than me. I'm not bragging, but I'm trying to get people's attention, not just for me, my personal safety, and I want to get out of this, number one. But number two, if you free Brendan O'Connell, you're going to help free Palestine, because you're going to highlight that matter, which is Israel's total control of the information flows. It ain't the NSA. It's Israel. They control the NSA. They control the Congress. They control the Senate. All these private security contractors are all Israeli. Chertoff, Rabbi Dov Zakhon. I mean, the former head of the psychological warfare operations in the 70s and 80s, Dr. Steve Pachenik, who's Jewish, born in Cuba, came out and said, yeah, Israel did 9/11 and we should arrest Michael Chertoff and Rabbi Dov Zakhon for treason because they were intimately involved with it. So, I mean, even with that...
They do, and all of the technology and all the software, like the Promise software that was used to infiltrate all the systems, these are all Israeli companies that developed all of this software.
Absolutely.
Control all of these systems.
Absolutely. Promise is worth a documentary in itself. That is an amazing history to that software, Promis. And look, here's something I accomplished. I was ranting to the police that you have got all these Israeli databases. Variant do all their intercepts, everything. So imagine this. Finally, the Australian Federal Police dropped their Promise software and were going to get a new Israeli version, and they dropped it. And that was because of me, Max. I'm not bragging, but I'm trying to say, if one guy can do this. And who's even heard about me, Max? You know what I mean? I've been to Iran. I was verbally by Mr. Jarvid given political asylum. My visa was being extended for 3 months. I can prove all that. I have got video footage, Max, of the apartment. There's my new laptop. They gave me laptop, $2,000 laptop, tablets, $1,000 Galaxy S7 phone. Brennan, what do you want? Well, you're fantastic. You can be a presenter on Press TV. And I left. Why? Something really wrong.
Yeah, well, what was it? Why? What was the clincher? Just the stonewalling about the Israeli situation, or what?
Well, some Iranians contacted me and said that Rafsanjani crowd, the reformist crowd, the moderates, Rouhani, they've got a lot of people involved. There's a lot of drugs. Look, the lawyer was off his head, Max. You can't make this stuff up.
In Iran.
In Iran. He was so florid. He's either bipolar, he's on methamphetamine or cocaine. He was so florid and he'd talk for hours. He wouldn't shut up. I couldn't get anything done. And then one night I just had enough. He was meant to leave and I was meant to have this apartment. You should see the apartment. It was like a little luxury apartment you'd die for. And he just kept staying and staying. And then I thought, I'm going to go insane. And then that night, he looked like he was on heroin. He'd gone to South Tehran for something. And he was literally like this. He was laughing, chuckling. He couldn't stand. He couldn't chop a carrot. He was trying to chop a carrot up. The next day, we were going to the passport border control offices where I'd been interviewed a month before by Colonel Hossein, who said, we will help you. We'll get you political asylum. And a three-month visa extension. And I said to him, David, you were off your head last night on drugs. And he said, no, I wasn't. He was like a child caught with a cookie. And I said, yes, you were. And I just sat there just fuming. When we got to the passport office, he made a fool of himself again, and I just lost it and said, give me my passport. You morons are going to lose it. I've had enough. And I literally jumped on up the train the next day, that day, got back to the apartment, packed my stuff, and the next day I went to a backpacker's. And I must admit, when I got away from him, I was down by Tehran University. It was great. I loved it down there, and I wish maybe I could have kept my cool, but it's too bizarre. I mean, Max, I just got off the plane. I hadn't had a drink in 6 months. I get off the plane. The people he sent to pick me up, this is the people this lawyer sent to pick me up, two women and two males, and they get me in the car and they put a cup of 100-proof vodka in my hand and say, no freedom. That's a quote. This is the lawyer who's inviting me over. He's clearly in a crowd of hardcore, I don't know what. I don't know what. You can't make this stuff up. And that's part of the background. In the end, I thought, this is too much. I can't. They don't want to talk about Orthodox Judaism. I mean, how are they doing organ transplants? Well, you know, organ trafficking. Why are they killing kids so blatantly? Because look at the rabbis. You know this, Max. The rabbis are there going, kill everyone, men, women, and children, and quoting from their holy books. That's important. That's important. Didn't want to talk about it.
Interesting. Very, very interesting. Interesting that you would have had that experience with prominent figures inside Iran as well. Yeah, like you say, all the world is a stage. And how much of this whole global situation is cooked up? How much of these wars are theater wars,
cover up,
organ harvesting, you know?
Oh, God knows
there's
what.
There's so much going on behind the scenes that people are not aware of. It's incredibly important that this type of information gets out to people. It really is.
Well, you take on Israel. It's going to happen. They're finished. They're absolutely finished, Max. But it's just how long. That's all. How many more people are going to die?
It's interesting to see how deep the ties go and how scared everybody is of this one little state. I mean, why would everybody be so scared of Israel? what's the deal with this? Why? I mean, it's just this tiny little country. You know, you've got these people who've gone out and infiltrated all these governments and political systems around the world. But what is it that holds this incredible fear for people? You know, I mean, sure, they've cooked up all these memes with anti-Semitism and the Holocaust and all this stuff they've got to try to back up their story, but I just can't fathom what it is, because none of that cows me into submission. I mean, I'll look at it, you know, they tell me I can't investigate the Holocaust, that's the first place I'm going to go look. Anything you tell me I can't look at, I'm right there looking at it. I just can't figure out what it is that actually works with these people and gets them so cowed and gets them to back down in the face of what is so obviously corruption in front of our very faces, you know. And it's so rampant and so worldwide, and so many people are suffering due to this corruption, and we can heal it so easily by bringing light to it. I just can't fathom what it is that keeps people in this state of inaction. I really can't.
Well, I think at the top levels, Max, it's simple bribery and blackmail. I've just done a video, and thank God you're saying theatre, because that's the word I'm using. It's theatre, people. There's not going to be no war with North Korea. There's Alex Jones, the fear porn specialist, you know, North Korea is the greatest threat. No, Alex, Syria's about to go. Gaza's Strip is probably about to be cleansed. Southern Lebanon's probably going to get it. That's the greatest threat right now. But, Max, it's pretty simple. They specialise in Israeli intelligence, bribery and blackmail. They use sex, they use drugs, they use fraud.
I know that. I know they get the politicians and stuff that way. But, you know, look, there's got to be some people, you know, working within the police force. There's got to be some politicians. Surely there's someone.
They are. They are.
Surely they there's are. Someone. You know?
They are. But
even the people. What's wrong with the people? Why don't the people see what's going on? I mean, see what you did. What you did wasn't bad. You were just there saying, hey, look, this is mislabeled fruit. This is Israeli fruit. And this is, you know, Israel's carrying out a war crime. We shouldn't be supporting this ethnic cleansing. This is a good thing to sort of point this out to people. What is it with the people that they won't even support it? That's what bugs me. I call Australia apothralia. I really do. I've tried so much to wake these people up to the fact that, you know, there's a lot of us and there's not many of them, and we're a pretty staunch bunch, and if we were to stand up and call things out for what they are, we could heal things pretty quickly. But trying to get these people motivated, and even when they see something like you right in their face, this is one of their countrymen being completely railroaded, They just sit there and say, yeah, what's the footy doing, you know? It's unbelievable.
Yeah, pretty much. And everyone who came around me, look, Max, I'm not anti-drug per se. I believe it should all be legalized and handled by the state and taxed. But everyone that came around me had a drug problem. So, you know, I had a lot of strange people. I couldn't get help of a caliber. So on that personal level, once you're targeted, they seem to have this criminal informant, I'm presuming, some of them not necessarily bad. But look, definitely the police came around to my way of thinking. So that was an accomplishment. But they're just so damn corrupt, I can't deal with them. There are obviously, I've got good responses from people like Minister Chris Finlayson in New Zealand, who's head of New Zealand intelligence, that he got back to me. So talking about Israeli spying, I mean, they've got the kill switches, Max, but I've said in my videos recently that the governments can't do it. We've got to do it. The grassroots with our phone cameras and our websites and our YouTube channels and our Twitter, and above all, getting out on the street. I'm trying to encourage people. You've got to hand out flyers. You've got to get a new market, that wage slaved mortgage paying, you know, slave going to work. You've got to wake them up and say, hey, this is relevant to you. If they do this in Palestine, this is relevant to you. And the banking control, this mortgage they've got you, you know, under control, struggling to put your kids through school. They're keeping you that way deliberately, so you're so exhausted. You've got no time and energy for other things.
Yeah, I've been trying to point this out to people as well for many, many years. You know, the interesting thing they're doing now is they're kind of sweeping the truth under the carpet. You know, very, very quietly. They're not closing channels and closing things down, but they're just sweeping it away so it can't be found. You know, like I noticed with my channel, my YouTube channel, it's almost impossible to grow subscribers because they get deleted all the time. I have one woman had to subscribe to my channel 14 times. They dropped my video view count. I can see my movies uploaded to other channels, and they've got like 620,000 views on another channel, and it's got 90,000 on my channel. So what's it really got on my channel if that's a mirror of my view? Now, I can search my name in my film, and you won't find my channel until like the sixth or seventh page in the search. So anyone who does come across one of my films won't find my channel to get the rest of the content and all of that sort of stuff. Algorithms, like, they can't share my stuff mostly on Facebook anymore. It won't share it. Someone tried to tag me in one of their, they had a monetized YouTube account. They tried to tag me in one of their videos the other day, and they got a message come up to say, this is not commercially advertisable material. Type my name in. So this is how they do it. They gradually sweep it away. So if they were to shut it all down, like come and just shut the crow house down, shut my channel down, it'd be noticed by people. But if they quietly brush it away so it can't be found, that's how they're doing it. So
absolutely,
we've really got to get out and realize that we're not going to do it just on the internet. We've got to get out, like you're saying, get involved in the world. I mean, unfortunately for many people, Facebook is the internet, and that's it. And the internet is Facebook, and it's fast becoming that way for a lot of people. And even now, you post something on Facebook, it'll get seen by 50 people, and you've got to pay to have it shared to more people. And if you pay, one of the options you get is who you would like to share it with, and one of the people on the list is people who already follow me. So what, they're not getting it, but they already follow you? You've got to pay for them to see it? This is what they're doing. So they're gradually squeezing the truth out and making it very, very difficult to find. So people have got to get out of this clicktivism mentality that Facebook and YouTube has created for them. I mean, it's good to put stuff out there on social media, but you've got to get out and get involved in the real world as well.
Well, absolutely, and I've tried to encourage that in one of my videos, Exposing Orthodox Judaism Talk. It's some young guys in Perth, really keen to get out there on the street. We're going to film all of that. I've got a lot of little projects, but I've got this anxiety of trying to live, wondering what the hell I'm going to do. So more than
any way of anyone getting money to you, mate. You got a PayPal?
It's still working so far. I'm worried about them closing down my Australian bank account. I'm going to have to ask. Maybe I'm going to have to ask the Malaysian government for political asylum or something. I mean, it's very, very anti-Israel here. I mean, probably the country that's done more against Israel is not Iran. It's Malaysia under Dr. Mahathir Mohamad. I mean, that guy just came out swinging, and they had that big conference about 9/11, and then they lost two aircraft. So if you want the king of anti-Israel sentiment, Jewish Zionism, then that is Dr. Mahathir Mohamad. Please look him up. He's come swinging, just saying, you know, Jewish power is getting other people to fight their wars for them. Israel, and he says, look, many Jews are fighting with us, and Islam has to get together. We have to get together with everyone. I mean, he's fantastic, incredible. And yet hardly anyone's heard of him. And that's right here in Malaysia, Kuala Lumpur, man.
Well, they have heard of him in as much as saying how terrible he is, you know. What a brutal demon he is and all that sort of stuff. So don't go there, don't support him, don't look there. There's other more interesting stuff going on over here. You know, by the way, look at Britney Spears' new hairdo. this is just the way they play it. Of course, you never hear of him. Interesting how they're destroying Turkey now, too, because Turkey didn't play the game. Not that I trust Turkey or Erdogan or anything like that, but it's really been interesting to watch how Turkey's sort of gone out of favour after him being Man of the Year on Time Magazine in 2013, and then going full steam ahead into Syria, expecting Obama to back him up, and then Obama saying, well, actually, we're kind of busy doing something else. And then as soon as he said, well, screw the West, I'm sick of being messed around by you people and improve ties with Russia, suddenly he's the worst demon the world has ever seen as well. Interesting how that goes, you know. But, Tom, how can people get hold of you? You've got websites that people can go to. You've got a way people can get your money. Put all that out here now so we get it out here while the show's still warm.
Well, the PayPal's still working. The bank accounts are still working. Look, I do have friends in high places in many cases.
How do people get to the PayPal?
Well, it's an email. It's boc@boc.rocks. So it's an unusual email. It's rocks. BOC, which is my initials, Brendan O'Connell. boc@boc.rocks. I've got a Bitcoin thing. That's very interesting. Bitcoin. I've learned how to use that. You can email me and I'll send you a number. There is a Patreon account, just Patreon, Brendan O'Connell, BRENDON CONNELL. I'm okay with money at the moment, but I've got to do a visa run, so I have to work out what I'm doing or where I'm going. Money is always a problem, obviously, causes some anxiety. Hopefully I can get a plan, because, you know, people are going to donate, they need to know, what am I doing, just like sipping lattes in Kuala Lumpur? I mean, it's a pretty nice place, but I need help, Max, I've got to be honest. I really need help to try and get a plan together to end this, and if people want to utilize my case to highlight things, like if we get out on the street where a lot of people are going to go, as they squeeze the internet, as you've said, they're squeezing us, people will head out onto the streets, and that's why this legislation is being pushed so hard, particularly in the United States. And my case is the perfect case on the planet right now to highlight. So I urge people to go to my blog, which is isolatebutpreserve@blogspot.com. If you Google my name, you'll generally find it. I also have a backup website, boc.rocks, www.boc.rocks, R-O-C-K-S. And I've got a Facebook page, which people can never find, won't show up in the searches.
It's amazing, that, isn't it? I'll put all these links in the links below the YouTube version of this radio show too, folks. I'll put all these links that Brendan's putting out here down there so you can just click them. And what we really need, really, is someone to donate some legal support to you.
Big time.
Someone who's willing to take this on head on. Someone who knows the corruption and sees the corruption of the system and needs a case that they can use to highlight that they know they can win. And your case really is the case that they can use. So if there is someone out there who has any legal connections at all and really wants to take this system on, well, here's a perfect case you can
also
do it. And it would be a great boon to freedom if someone could step up and help with this.
Yeah, look, Max, and look, I'm a combative person. I hope people understand that I've been under enormous pressure for 8 years. Maximum security jails, they've beat me up. I mean, they've done horrible things to me. I know it could be worse. I could be in Gaza. But I urge you people, even if you don't like me, I'm under a lot of pressure. If we can get together, more even than money, though money's good, if we can get a plan, good people together and just have an actual plan, that's just the heaven. And please, if you read my case, I've got legal documents online, you will see how out of control and crazy this whole thing is.
Well, yeah, and Brendan sent me these legal documents too, folks. He sent me a bit of an overview of the case. I had a bit of a skim through it, and it is absolutely ludicrous what's going on to this man, and it really does highlight the corruption and how desperate these people are to cover up this corruption. It really demonstrates the amount of corruption in Australia as well. I mean, I've often said Australia is one of the most controlled countries on earth, folks. It really is. You know, they sell it to you as the land of the free, and the people think it's all cool because we've got plenty of space, and they think space equates to freedom. But it really isn't. It's one of the most controlled countries on earth. And if you speak out against the system in any way, this is what happens to you. And Australian police have just been getting more and more brutal. It's time this role changed. Now, these are supposed to be the protectors of society, but really, they're just a crime gang. And Brendan's case just highlights that to the extreme. It really does. So what are your plans from here, brother? You're just going to sit tight for a little while and see if we can get some aid for this? Or don't go back to Australia too quickly. I really urge you not to do that.
Yeah, look, I agree. I've just got to do a visa run. I don't know whether to go to Singapore or do something simple. But a plan.
I would suggest that you do talk to the Malaysian government and highlight your case and say, look, this is the position I'm on. Can you grant me some sort of political asylum for now?
Well, I'm willing to do that. They know all about my case, trust me. But I know the first thing they're going to say, could you be quiet? I could have been quiet in Australia. I was getting offers left and right, Max. And I mean major offers, government jobs even, counterterrorism courses.
Be quiet. Well, it says there on your thing that you're not allowed to speak out. I mean, you could essentially get in a lot of trouble for even doing what you're doing now because you're breaking bail conditions.
I'm arrested anyway. I mean, I've skipped bail, automatic jail. But trust me, people will say, yeah, but it's just a simple thing. You'll only get a community corrections order. I said, they will stick me on remand for 2 years. I said, don't you understand there are no rules? Look, what are you going to do? Put a growly face on Facebook and go, I'm really angry that Brendan O'Connell's sitting in Hakea maximum security?
We'll start a petition and we'll wave our little flags. That'll help you.
Yeah, I mean, it doesn't. Look, I've been through the system. They don't care. They looked at me literally and said, we don't care, Brendan. I even said, you can't do that in the trial. And the judge said, watch me. Judge Wisby, watch me. There are no rules. So, look, Max, one day there will be a revolution. And one day, when it happens, I assure you, you're going to work out there is no justice, there is no law. They do.
Well, that's what I'm saying to people as well. There is no law. Just the fact that these politicians are out of jail shows there is no law. And I often use Gaza to highlight this.
Yes.
You know, like Gaza's an open war crime, a breach of the Fourth Geneva Convention. It's collective punishment. Not only that, it's mainly children that are imprisoned in Gaza Strip. You got every politician in the Western world just about supporting this. So what makes any of their legislation valid when it can be seen that they're in open support of a war crime themselves? You know, it means there is no law. You know, if they're able to do this and allow these people to suffer on their behalf and use our tax money to do it, and you got Malcolm Turdfull going over there providing air support for ISIS terrorists in Syria, essentially. I mean, any bombing that's done in Syria is supporting ISIS terrorists, which is a privately run mercenary army funded by the Clinton Foundation anyway. I mean, there is no civil war in Syria. It's a covert invasion for resources and a pipeline and organ harvesting and all the stuff they do. So, and it's about time people woke up and smelled the coffee. They really do. And this just shows how utterly corrupt the Australian political system is. And it's really important that people do find out about this case and get involved and get out there and make a noise and find people in your local area to get involved with. You know, get out there on the ground, start doing what Brendan says, dropping leaflets around, pamphlets, go to your local supermarket, let people know what's going on. Try to snap them out of this glazed reality that they're living in. It's hard, mate. I mean, it's like we're living in it's not even sheep anymore. It's like people's eyes are just glazed over. It's like most of the world is living in a state of mass hypnosis.
Yeah, and how many times have people said, what do I do? I said, I don't know, the same way the women got the vote. They didn't have Facebook 100 years ago, sweetheart. You got out on the street and you handed out a flyer. I mean, Max, handing out a flyer now has become like almost an unattainable goal. Like people are like, hand out a flyer. Have a website. Yeah, organize a meeting.
It's a revolutionary act actually going out there and getting involved in the real world because people have lost their social skills so much that this is the way it goes.
That's why they invented the internet ghetto called Facebook.
Yeah, absolutely. And like I said, for many people, you know, Facebook is the internet. That's all there is. And that's the scary thing. That's the scary part. It's really, really controlling the flow of information. I urge people to get off Facebook. I've been trying to get some forums built for my website so I can get off Facebook and still maintain contact with everybody. That's the only thing. It is handy for contacting people.
Oh, for sure. For sure. It's a tool.
They used to have to go to an enormous amount of trouble to get this sort of information on people, and everyone posts their whole lives on it. It's just incredible. You've really saved the government a lot of money by logging onto Facebook every day. But anyway, look, we're going to have to wrap it up, brother. We're getting to the end of the show. It's a limited time slot, unfortunately. But it's been great to have you come on and tell this story. And I might check in with you again in maybe another month or so and see how you're doing. And I'll put the word out to a few other radio hosts and see if they can get you on and spread this word a little more. Anything final you'd like?
Look, Max, if anyone knows anyone in Malaysia, there are a lot of rooms for rent. They're quite cheap, like $50, $60 a week, and they're really nice. But, you know, people only have to Google my name. How easy do you think it's going to be getting a room? But if anyone knows friends in Malaysia, and there's a huge expat community here, it would really help if I could get a room with a sympathetic apartment somewhere there, and I can just settle in for the long haul and start to make some plans. But at the moment, I'm just struggling just to keep my head above water. So any help that way would be appreciated, Max, as well.
Not a problem. Well, get onto it, folks. If you know anybody in Malaysia, please do reach out to Brendan. And you can reach out to me if you can't get hold of Brendan. I mean, I'm sure you'll be able to, but if you can't, then just send me an email and I'll forward it to him, and we'll see if we can work this out. Thanks for coming on the show, brother. I really sympathize with what you're going through, and I really hope a lot of people listen to this and share this information, folks. Share this show with everybody, especially if you're an Australian. Share it with people and let people know what's going on. But that's it for me, folks. We're going to have to go now, so I'll look forward to speaking to you again next week. Do come and see me at the Regeneration gig this weekend with Benny Wills if you can, and do come and see me at the gig in Calgary and in England next month. But I'll speak to you again soon in Lakesh.